out better than actually people expected, but that's only because they expected it could be really bad. I think one thing I would say about it is that it's also predictable is the presidency's turned out to be almost purely rhetorical. I mean, the thing he actually does and turns out to be good at is getting under people's skin and causing continual scandals and controversies that really focus around Twitter and then bleed into the other media, which is a strange thing.
And especially notable that all the controversies that he seems to have chosen himself, again, outside of the foreign policy realm, are pretty pointless.
Sure. You know, the NFL take a knee thing, any, you know, these periodic spats with cable news hosts, uses Twitter to complain about bad restaurant reviews. On the other hand, he also uses Twitter to poke and prod our nuclear armed rivals. You know, just recently the use of Twitter to call Kim Jong-un short and fat. This is he does seem to have a great deal of difficulty behaving like a serious, sober, responsible adult in what by necessity is somewhat of a serious job.
We've talked before, Gene, you and I, about the about congressional abdication and what are the actual real constraints on the presidency. And if I understand you correctly, a lot of this is what things look like. That is, what constrains a president isn't necessarily the Constitution or branches that are rivalrous in terms of power, but what does it look like the president is doing and whether or not there is support for it?
One of the things that's interesting, I mean, so much of Trump's election and his presidency has baffled political scientists and experts who make predictions about how our system of government works. One of the things that's been interesting in this the early months of the presidency is, you know, James Madison's scheme for separation of powers. He thought it'd be largely self-executing, that ambition would counteract ambition, and that Congress would stand up to a president who encroached on congressional authority. That's worked out pretty poorly starting in the 20th century and into the 21st century. And one thing that you rarely saw was when the presidency and the legislature is held by the same party, they tend to work in tandem and you don't get the checks and balances that Madison envisioned. Trump has shown in some ways that our system is more resilient than we thought it was going to be.
And for reasons we didn't expect necessarily.
Right. You don't see – I mean, there's the typical lament you hear. It's usually about Trump's Twitter feed. This is not normal. There are aspects of this presidency that are not normal, and one of them is the amount of congressional pushback we've seen from members of the president's own party. It is not normal. It is not usual that you have the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, a Republican, talking about how the White House is an adult daycare center and the president's erratic behavior may lead us to World War III. But you've actually seen some activity in Congress to head off the president's threat to fire the special counsel. You've even seen on war powers where Congress has been out to lunch for decades, some movement, at least some serious discussion about reining in presidential power, and that's a good thing.
I mean, I think that is one of the interesting things about the last year is the pushback has been pretty surprising in general and fairly successful. I mean, I thought Trump would care more about his personal popularity than it's turned out that he does. He seems to perfectly accept, you know, a 35% approval rating, which is going to be lead to electoral disasters down the road. And so the system